Daniel chapter 11, verses 17 through 35. The king of the north, having defeated the king of the south, set his face to rule the territories he had won. He knew this would require the strength of his whole kingdom. Governing from a distance was immensely difficult. To help maintain control, he gave his daughter to the southern king as wife, corrupting her, and persuading her to look after his interests instead of submitting to her own husband. Her name was Cleopatra. In the end, however, she took her husband's part against her father and did not stand on his side. Daniel 11, verse 17. He lost his hold on Egypt. The northern king was now deeply in debt from his military expeditions and had no hope for tribute from Egypt to pay those debts. Desperately needing the plunder that conquest could bring, he moved against the Isles, the Mediterranean coastal cities. He met with success until attacking the Greeks, who had a treaty with Rome. Rome's strength and will of iron, which were characterized in Daniel 2, were rapidly making it a great power. A prince, the Roman consul, gave aid to the Greeks for his own behalf to further his own political career. The king brought reproach upon the Greeks when he defeated them and put them to tribute. The Romans caused it to turn upon him by the defeat and the tribute which they inflicted upon him. Daniel 11, verse 18. He fled home to the fort of his own land, but his financial situation was worse than ever. He had initiated 3 costly invasions with no real profit from any of them. He owed money to those who had financed him, to his army, and to the Romans. In desperation, he robbed the wealthy treasury of Jupiter. This was his stumble. The people, outraged by his impiety toward their idol god, arose violently against him, and he was killed. This was his fall. Daniel 11:19. His son became the new king of the north. To pay the debts his father had left, he became a raiser of taxes. His rule never rose any higher than this. He was honored as a ruler and had the full glory of the kingdom, but his days on the throne were comparatively few. He was killed, not in anger nor in battle, but in cold blood by one who coveted the power he held. Daniel 11, verse 20. Daniel 11:21 brings us to Antiochus Epiphanes. No other man in history fits the place and the events which God has described here. Only this Antiochus could possibly be the man God points out as being a true and clear figure of the Antichrist. However, Antiochus is not a perfect picture of the man of sin. For example, Daniel 7 and 9 show that the Antichrist will come out of the remains of Roman rule. Antiochus Epiphanes was a Syrian king with his roots in Alexander's Grecian Empire. No type, figure, or comparison is ever perfect, only useful. John called Jesus the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus is not exactly like a lamb, but the lamb portrays important aspects of Jesus' character and work. On a natural level, we might say that a tangerine is like an orange, yet a tangerine is not an orange, and however much they are alike, they are also different. So it is here. Although Antiochus gives a clear picture of the Antichrist who is to come, there were many things in his career which do not fully reflect the man of sin. We will pass over those matters without comment or dispute, accepting the limitations of the figure are not the limits of the God who gave it. Although the comparison is not exact, in God's judgment it is the best available. It is worthwhile to observe the enormous contrasts between the Antichrist and the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. To the natural mind, there are great similarities between Jesus, who suffered according to the will of his Father, and arose from the dead triumphant, and the Antichrist, who will die and ascend out of the bottomless pit to head a doomed rebellion against God. To the eyes of the enlightened, the differences stand out, not the similarities. Antiochus was a vile person, contemptible in his total lack of moral standards, and worthy only of disdain. Daniel 11:21. So it will be with the Antichrist. He will be a small, vile, blasphemous man pushed to bigness by Satan's power. How different from the Lord who bought us, Our high priest is holy, harmless, and undefiled. Hebrews 7:26. When the mighty ruling priestly overcomers worship him, they will cry, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." Revelation 4:1. Antiochus told lies acceptable to his hearers. He came to power by flatteries and increased power by deception. Daniel 11 verses 21 through 23 and 27. A smooth talker, he said whatever was necessary to accomplish his ends. He used peace treaties with Israel and with Egypt to pave the way for violent conquest of those countries. The Antichrist will make a similar treaty, Daniel 9:27, Isaiah 28:15 through 18. Isaiah prophesied of that time, "The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste, the wayfaring man ceaseth, he hath broken the covenant." Isaiah 33 verses 7 through 8. The prince of the covenant, apparently the Jewish leader who will make a league with Antichrist, will fall at that time. Daniel 11 verse 22. The hallmark of Satan's work then, whether though through Antiochus Epiphanes, the Antichrist, or any other, is a lying promise of peace, followed by the destruction of those who believe the lie. Again, how different from the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore witness to the truth, knowing men would hate him for it. To a group of Pharisees he said, "Now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Ye are of your father the devil, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8 verses 40 and 44. There was no pretense in his words. Every man knew where Jesus stood. In prayer, he said, "Thy word is truth," John 17, verse 17. He died according to that word of truth, and according to that word he was raised. All his promises of peace are true. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6. In the final hours before his crucifixion, he told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14:27. Grace and truth are the hallmarks of Christ's work. I speak from experience when I say that he delivers on his promises. I have never regretted trusting in him. The Lord told Daniel concerning Antiochus Epiphanes, "His heart shall be against the holy covenant," Daniel 11 verses 28 and 30. The Antichrist, like Antiochus before him, will set himself against Israel with an implacable hatred when they reject his unrighteous demands. Here again, the gap between Christ and the Antichrist is vast. Jesus Christ, the righteous, loves Israel despite their present rejection. Paul said concerning Israel in our day, "They are beloved," Romans 11:28. Looking out across Jerusalem, knowing that Israel would soon cry out for his crucifixion, Jesus wept over their refusal of his offer of peace, and because of the terrible judgments that he knew would come upon them. Luke 19 verses 41 through 44. The Antichrist will betray all who believe his lies and seal his authority with the blood of others, both his followers and his opposers. Jesus Christ was betrayed by another and made a covenant in his own blood to save all who would believe, even those who were his enemies. The campaign of Antiochus against Israel is outlined in Daniel 11, verses 30 through 35. The efforts of the Antichrist will undoubtedly parallel those of Antiochus, as detailed here and in Daniel 7. Although Antiochus did indeed fulfill this prophecy up to Daniel 11, 35, that verse also states that there is an application to the time of the end. The beast will begin then by having intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant, that is, he will seek out and consult with spiritually rebellious Jews. By his slippery flatteries and promises, he will further corrupt them, persuading them to join his evil cause. They will apparently take up arms in support of him when he sets up the abomination that maketh desolate. Daniel 11, verse 31. Of course, not all Jews will join him. God always has a remnant. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, Daniel 11:32. Who will these be? No matter how many philosophers in religious garb proclaim the supposedly liberal view that men can know God apart from Jesus, it is still a lie. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. 1 John 2:23. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him. John 5:23. These will be Jews who will have accepted Jesus Christ. Due to their late acceptance of him, most of them will be spiritually ignorant, but some, the two witnesses and the 144,000, will understand God's word and the events around them. These will instruct others. By God's word, their faith will be strengthened for the terrible day in which they live.